Hey, let's relive the night where Stephen Curry took the world by surprise, dropping 54 points in Madison Square Garden. Tune into the Warriors Facebook page to witness Warriors Archive, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. For more info, go to warriors.com. We welcome in Mike Breen. He is the television voice of the NBA as well as the New York Knicks. And we're going back to February 27, 2013, Mike. And what do you remember about that night and what stood out for you?
Well, I remember it was fun. And obviously now it's easy to look back and say it was a sign of things to come. But the interesting part, Tim, was when the game was previewed, you know, certainly, you know, these young Warriors and Steph Curry, everybody was looking forward to seeing him at the Garden. But the bigger story from an opponent's standpoint with the Knicks was that Mark Jackson was returning, because the prior year was a lockout, so they weren't there for, they had not come in to New York for the previous game. So Mark Jackson from New York and from St. John's University and a former Knick Rookie of the Year, that was like the big story coming in, and that obviously got put to the side when Steph put on a show that, you know, it's funny, it's considered an iconic performance, and it was, but what we've seen from him and others since, it's amazing how it changed, and I think you'd probably agree that that night had a lot to do with the way the game has changed.
You know, it's interesting, too, because, you're right. It was foreshadowing of what was going to occur, and the night before, the Warriors were in Indiana, and Roy Hibbert and David Lee got into a dust-up. This was also going to be, I think, believe, David Lee's first game back in New York since coming over and signing with the Warriors. And we were kind of focused a little bit on that as well as Mark Jackson. And then Lee got suspended, so he didn't play. And so so coming in, we thought, this is going to be a really, really tough game. But then, you know, Steph got off to this great start. And I got to tell you, the guy I feel sorry for in all of this is Tyson Chandler, because he pulled down 28 rebounds that night.
Yes. The thing, too, the Knicks were a really good team that year. They wound up winning 54 games. They had the second-best record in the East, and they were a really good defensive team. Chandler that year made the first All-Star game of his career, and I'm not sure if he still is, but I think he was... in terms of players, it was the oldest or had been in the league the longest before making his first All-Star team. And he led a really good defense. And I remember Chandler saying after the game, like, well, we defended him well. We had our hand in his face. There was one particular three, I remember, late in the game where Steph did his usual ball wizardry, and Chandler was on him. And Chandler was, like, draped over him. And how Steph even got off the shot... And Chandler was shaking his head in amazement and in respect for what he did. So that was made it even more special, because the Knicks were a good defensive team that year.
You know, the other part about that is how unusual that was to have a guy score 50 points and then have somebody else get 20 rebounds. They had to go back to 1987. And Michael Jordan was playing against Charles Barkley. And Jordan had a 50-plus game. Barkley pulled down like 24 rebounds or whatever it was. And so you had to go back that far to find a game like that. In terms of all the great players you've got to see over the years come to Madison Square Garden, where would you rank that particular performance?
Oh, it's right up there. I'm not good at ranking one, two, or three. But it was one of the great performances. And one of the ways that you remember it, Tim, is, now, the Knicks fans, they're great fans. They are so loyal and hungry for their team to win. But every once in a while, there have been certain performances where, even though a guy is just destroying their team, the fans understand what they're watching, that they're watching greatness. And that night... He got quite a bit of cheers, and it wasn't still the time when Dub Nation was traveling all over the country and filling seats in road arenas. This was a Knick crowd, and they were crazy for their team that year. As I said, they were a good team, but they were cheering for Curry because they're saying, "Well, we are seeing something special from this man," and that has not happened very often at Madison Square Garden, and that's what kind of showed me. And, you know, there's so many things that you remember from the game. And I remember he didn't have a great start. Like, the first quarter, He missed a handful of shots. A number of them came in the first quarter. I think he only had like 4 points in the first quarter, and then he just went off in the second quarter, and that got the buzz. And so at halftime, everybody was talking about it, everybody. And when he came back out in the third quarter, the key was, all right, is he going to be able to keep this up?
27 at the break. He had 23 in the second quarter. He was 7 of 10. And then he gets 27 in the second half, 11 in the third, and 16 in the fourth. His numbers in the second half were even better than the first. He was 9 of 12 from the field in the second half. He was 7 of 7 from beyond the arc. 7
right.
of 7.
And many of the shots were contested, like well contested. The ones that weren't, the only reason they were contested because nobody expected them to shoot where he was on the floor. That was one of the first, you know, I haven't gotten back and watched it. I would like to go back and watch the telecast just because I think, if I recall, I may have said, that's a terrible shot. But as we know from Steph, what he's done over time is those shots are no longer terrible. He has completely changed the definition of a good shot and a bad shot. But back then, it still wasn't considered a good shot, some of the shots he was taking. There was one, I think it was a three-on-one fast break, and he pulls up from, you know, 26 feet and knocks it down. And even some of his floaters and the ones that he throws off the glass when he gets in the paint, he made so many difficult shots that night. That's what made it so impressive, and yet maintained an incredible efficient night shooting the ball in addition to being prolific.
I remember one night where he was warming up and he's taking shots, you know, way beyond the arc, like toward half court, right? And I'm going, what's he doing? He'll never take that shot in the game. Why is he taking that shot? And so,
why practice that? You're not going to take him in the game, right?
Yeah, exactly. So here's the other amazing thing. And I went and looked at the shot chart of that game. He had 1-3 from the left side of the floor, a left corner three. Everything else, 9 of his 11 threes, which at the time was a franchise record and his career high, 9 of 11 were above the break on the right side.
All right. Well, I remember on the opposite ends of the benches, and I remember he was on the far side, and it just seemed like that's where every shot went. You know, the other thing, too, you mentioned they played the night before, so he comes in the next night at the Garden. And he plays the whole game. He played 48 minutes.
Right.
And that's what I remember. Like, I don't think he got tired. I mean, I'm sure he was tired, but I don't think that had an impact on the end, even though poor Raymond Felton and Raymond, who had a very good year for the next that year, he was tortured by Steph. They put a bunch of different players on him. But he did get a key block shot late in the game that gave the Knicks the win or helped get the Knicks the win. And that's why, like for the fans of the Garden, it was the perfect night. They were able to cheer on greatness. They were able to watch, you know, the continued emergence of this special player and a guy who now is considered perhaps the greatest shooter of all time. But at the same time, their team won the game.
109-105 was your final. It was the most points since Purvis Short had scored 59 for the Warriors against New Jersey. But unfortunately for Steph, and I'm going to close off with this, is that he works for a team that had Wilt Chamberlain. And so the next morning, I think Mark had canceled practice, and we stayed overnight. And so the buses were mixed. You could go on any bus. It wasn't a big deal. So Steph was on our bus. And so I walked to the back of the bus, being the smart aleck that I am. I said, look, it was an honor to call you last night. That was an incredible game. But just so you know, you're still 46 points off the club record. And he got a good chuckle out of that one. So.
Oh, I know. He had 54. And how many total of 105? So he had more than half the team's points. But like you say, compared to Wilt, I mean, there's still numbers that Wilt puts up. But the amazing thing is now what Steph did that night, you know, with such big news and with such an incredible performance, he is just what he's done from there. That was just a sign of things to come. That was what makes it so special when you think back.
Mike Breen, thank you so much for helping us out here on Warrior Sound and Warriors.com and continued health and safety to you and your family back east and look forward to seeing you in happier times.
Always good to hear your voice, Tim. Same to you, bud.